it's exciting to be back and to see friends and to be able to be able to visit again and hear the church bell ringing this morning and just thinking about what God's been doing here and the singing. And it is awesome, and I'm thankful to have the privilege to be able to preach this morning. I am, as Pastor Haynes just said, I'm been running a little bit, and this is a message the Lord's put on my heart, and so I've been trying to take some time to prepare it, and so I hope this will be a blessing to you this morning. We're going to go to Psalm 110 this morning, Psalm 110, and look at just this little psalm together. And we had a good trip. I'm thankful that we were able to get out there to Lander and be able to make it back safely. Do you mind if I share just a little bit this morning? Okay. So we went to a few churches on the way out there. I had a little bit more of a plan as far as helping some church plants. We helped the church plant in Kansas and helped a few different churches. But we got out to Lander, and I did the sealing, and I really didn't have a schedule coming back. I hadn't talked to anyone, and that makes my wife nervous. But I said, it's all right, you know, the Lord will put it together for us. And so she's kind of thinking, I don't know if I know anybody between here and, you know, the east. And she was thinking about different people, and she remembered a family that her parents have supported over the years, and she hadn't seen them in how many years? Probably 15 years. It had been a long time, but she thought of, you know, I remember the Owens, Sam Owens. She said he was pastoring in South Dakota, you know, years ago. I don't know if he's still there. So she looked him up, and sure enough, he was still there. He was pastoring, and I called him. And we had talked about going to see Mount Rushmore, and so we just started heading toward Mount Rushmore, and we literally got there in the evening, and they were doing a lighting ceremony for the Mount Rushmore, and so it was just about to start. My phone rang, and it's Pastor Owens, and he says, "I have a project for you." This was really deep. He said, "My wife basically had an accident and our kitchen burned." And so they gutted out their whole kitchen. And I know you've already shared this with the church, but I just thought this was really neat. And so we ended up being able to, he said, "We're planning to start on framing the kitchen and trying to get it together on Monday." And he said, "If you can be here, that would be great." So we were already kind of on our way there, just hoping to find something to work on, and the Lord put that together, and then the Lord opened some other doors, and I planned things out a little bit further after that, but that was just one of those things where it was kind of a last minute. We were like, we're going to just start heading back east and just see what the Lord does, and so we opened a door there, and then I was able to help a church, and we were in Minnesota, and I was able to preach there and help there a little bit, and Wisconsin, and then two churches in Michigan, and each church was a little bit different, but the Lord allowed us to be able to be involved in the ministry, and just neat things like that when the Lord opens a door for you to be able to see that He had a plan when I didn't have a plan, that God had a plan, and I'm thankful for that. And how he did that. We also, another thing that was interesting that I didn't share yet, but we were going through South Dakota, and I mean, it was far between things and the gas stations and what, and we had a light go on for our DEF, which just said, you know, we needed to add some DEF. It's a diesel van, and so I waited a little bit, and then another light went on and said there was a poor DEF quality, and it started counting my miles down before it was going to put me in the limp mode. Well, there, it's done that several times before, and sometimes we have to stop in wherever we're at and try to get it fixed. And that was sort of my nightmare about if we're out west, what if this DEF trips and we're stuck and there's nowhere for us to get it serviced? Most mechanics cannot fix it. It has to be a diesel mechanic at a Chevy dealer to deal with those computers. And it's just a really annoying thing that they designed this with. I don't know why they designed it that way. So it was on, and we put the fluid in, and we're driving, and it's just counting down, and we're down to like 20 miles before it starts reducing our speed, and it cleared. So it's like, praise the Lord. So that was a blessing, and it's those little things sometimes that you're hoping this won't happen when we're out west, you know, we'll be fine, and it was happening, but the Lord allowed it to clear out, and I've had that thing serviced probably 4 or 5 times since we've been on the road, and that was not one of the times we had to do that, so I'm thankful for that. Really got an opportunity to be able to see the Lord working in some people's lives too, and it was encouraging to be able to work with some people in some of these different projects and get to know some of the different pastors and just try to be an encouragement with the church in Wisconsin. We got to know them. They've had some trouble with, they have some newborns that they'd been through a lot with, and we were just able to talk with them and try to encourage them, and it was fun to have some of they have some older children too, and we were able to just spend some time in fellowship with them, and so that was a blessing. So I do have a hard time sometimes going back and remembering what all the Lord's been doing in our lives, but I know it's been good, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be in the ministry and to be able to just minister as the Lord gives opportunity. So we're going to go to Psalm 110 here, and I'm going to read through it this morning and just see what the Lord has for us here. Psalm 110, I'm going to go ahead and read through it, and we'll get right into this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity, for the privilege to be able to know you, to be able to speak with you. And Lord, we ask now in Jesus' name that you would bless these few minutes that we have together. We pray that you'd help us to learn from your word. We understand that we have an enemy, and we do bind the enemy. We pray in Jesus' name that you would meet with us during this time. I pray, Lord, that you'd hide me behind the cross. Help me not to distract from the message here. And I pray that you'd meet with us and stir your people, Lord, to a closer walk with you. I pray that you would work in lives today, Lord. We pray for those that are lost here today, Lord, that they would understand your gospel, and Lord, that they'd be drawn to you, and Lord, that some would come to know you as Savior, Lord, through the truth of your word and your love for us. We pray now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd meet with your people, that you'd build them up, and that you would bless in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Psalm 110, a psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power and the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Well, we see this psalm is a psalm of David. The Lord made reference to this psalm, and he said that David said in spirit that the Lord said to his Lord. And you'll see there's two different ways that those words are capitalized. The first word, Lord, there is in all caps. And the second time, it's only the first letter that's capitalized. And these are two different people, but they're both the Lord of David. But specifically, his Lord is a reference to the Messiah. And Jesus spoke about that when he said, David said that the Messiah would be his Lord. He said that he was the Lord in spirit. David could see that God was going to allow him to be a part in the Messiah coming to be. That God was going to do a greater work through his life that he couldn't take credit for. This was God's doing, and it was marvelous in the eyes of David. He looked forward, I believe, to the Messiah, and that Messiah was David's Lord. It was not the Messiah was not just the offspring of David alone, but it was God doing a great work through the flesh of David. And so we see he said here, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool." David saw this principle that the Messiah would come and that he would rest in the power of God the Father. He would rest in that power of God the Father. He would walk in the fullness of the Spirit and live in the Spirit of God to accomplish his ministry in this world. Jesus actually said, "I can of mine own self do nothing." Jesus found his power in God the Father. And he set an example for us in that. Jesus was the perfect, sinless flesh of God. God made, Jesus was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. But he was not just the offspring of David. He was a work of God God did a great work through this Messiah. He said he would make his enemies his footstool. Jesus was going to rule and reign. He was more than a conqueror. He overcame. And he overcame through the Spirit of God and through God's work in his life. So verse 2, it says here, "The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies." God's power was in the life of David. "Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies." That we have the power of God through his Spirit. This is what I see through this psalm. "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth." Through the power of God, through the beauty of holiness, we can make a difference.
That's right.
"The womb of the morning, the dew of thy youth." Notice this in verse 4. "The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." The Lord hath sworn. Jesus said, "Swear not at all. Not by your head, not by anything. Don't swear." He told us, "Don't swear." The Bible says here, "The Lord hath sworn." Jesus said, "Don't swear." We ought not swear. We ought not to say, "I'm going to," and fill in the blank, by the grace of God. But here we see the Lord hath sworn because he can.
Amen.
He's a self-existent one. He's the only self-existent one. He's the only one that's going to be able to do exactly his pleasure. He's the only one that's going to be able to follow through every single time. When we swear, maybe you will, maybe you won't. God, the Lord, Jehovah, hath sworn and will not repent. He said, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." And I believe that this, he's referring to the Lord, David's Lord. God, Jehovah, said to Jesus, the Messiah, he said, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." God was going to do this work. God the Father was going to do this work in the life through the life of the Messiah that was never going to be shaken, that was never going to be broken. This is a bold word of promise that he was going to do what he said he was going to do. And he had told the Lord, the Messiah, he said, "Sit thou at my right hand." This is a place of blessing. When Joseph blessed his sons, actually Joseph's father, Jacob, when he blessed Joseph's sons, Jacob, he put his right hand on Ephraim's head and his left hand on Manasseh's head. And Joseph said, "That's not right." He said, "Manasseh's the older, not Ephraim." And he tried to move his dad's hands, and he said no, because God's blessed both of them, but he's blessed Ephraim in a special way. And this right hand was a symbol of a special blessing that was going to be on the life of the Messiah, that God purposed to bless the ministry of the Messiah, to send the Messiah and bless his work and allow him to do a work that could never be shaken, that would never be moved. This was a bold word of promise. And so he said he had sworn and will not repent. The Lord has sworn. It's his purpose. The Lord Jehovah had purpose to do a work through the Messiah, and he's not going to go back on that. We have no business swearing and saying, "You know what? I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that." We put it before the Lord and say, "God, if you give me the strength to do it, I'm going to do it.
That's right.
God, I know what I need to do. I know I need to follow your leadership or follow a principle of Scripture. But except the Lord build that house, it's not going to be built. And we need to find our strength in Him, rest in Him." I believe that it's, I'm not against having a plan, certainly. I think we need to have a plan. We need to balance our checkbooks and, you know, pay our bills and have good order to our lives. But at the end of the day and at the end of our lives, what we're going to accomplish is going to be done by the power of God. If it's anything really meaningful in all the things that we do, we must put our trust in Him. And you know, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. And that means you do it through the strength of God. Amen. Not in our own strength, but through the power of God. "The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath." Now, verse 5 here, it says, "The Lord at thy right hand." This is capital L, lowercase L-O-R-D. And this is a reference to the Messiah. The Messiah at the right hand of God the Father would strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Well, he just sat down. "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at thy right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." So the Lord sat at the right hand of God the Father. First, he rested in the blessing and the power of God. He went to do his will, and God touched him and God blessed him. And so we see first he sat, and then later he would strike through kings. But first he sat.
Amen. That's good.
First he sat down in the power of God, and in obedience to God did what he was told to do. And God blessed him. And God used him to strike through kings, to do a great work. Jesus set an example for us in resting in the power of God the Father. "He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries." This is the Messiah, the living Messiah, the living Word of God. And when he came, what he would do is he would show his own power, but he would also show the lifelessness of dead religion and dead kingdoms. I think about Nebuchadnezzar, and when he had this dream that he couldn't remember, And he knew that it was something important, but he couldn't even remember what the dream was. And Daniel had to come in and interpret that dream for him. And he was this golden head, and there was the silver shoulders, and the brass belly, and the iron legs, and the feet were iron and mixed with clay. And this image was a lifeless image, and it was a crumbling image. And it says he watched till a stone was cut out without hands and broke that image. That was the living power of God. All the kingdoms of this world, all the great accomplishments of this world are lifeless. But if we have the power of God, if we rest in His power, we will be able to break down and break through all the great achievements of this world, the lifeless achievements of this world through the power of God. I think about that image of Nebuchadnezzar, that the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron and the mingled iron and clay. And you see that golden head and the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, it was a pretty glorious thing. He had great power, he had great wealth, he had great influence. But behind him was a lesser kingdom. And behind him was a lesser, and a lesser, and a lesser. And in the end, it would all crumble. And the foundation that he stood on was a crumbling foundation. Because God shows his wisdom in the end. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. How's your life going to end? That's what's important. How is your walk with God going to end? That's what's important.
Amen.
That's what matters.
That's right.
I want to end well.
That's right, Father.
We need to end well. I'm just thinking about my parents. And I'm thankful for them. And after 50 years, they do love each other more.
Aye.
And we had a good day yesterday. We had a beautiful day yesterday. It rained hard. It rained long. All day. Didn't stop. We came in the rain. We grilled in the rain. We sat in the pavilion in the rain. It rained all day. It was beautiful. Because we came together as a family, we honored our parents. It was good.
That's good.
And I got together with my dad yesterday afterward and picked up some mail from the house. And we talked a little bit. He reminded me again. He said, yeah, when we got married, he said the preacher was an old preacher. His eyes were kind of glazed over a little bit. It was the last marriage he ever did. He said when he went to go to give the vows to mom, he said the wrong name. And she said, that's not my name. And so she had to say it again. And so she said her vows to my dad. And then he said, now, Christine, will you take this man? And he said her again. He never asked my dad to say his vows. And my mom had to say her vows twice. So they laughed and they said, well, she could never get divorced because she has to get her house twice. But my dad couldn't get divorced either because he never said his vows. But better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for after 50 years they love each other. They've been pretty, I believe they've been faithful to each other.
Amen. That's good. That's very good.
So I'm thankful for good endings. Remember what Peter did when Jesus was going down to the court, to the human court? He went down there and he looked to see the end. He wanted to see how it was all going to end when he stood before those judges that were corrupt judges. He wanted to see how it was all going to end. It wasn't the end, was it?
No.
There's a better end. You walk with God. And there's a better end. I want to end well. Boy, it says here, the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. I believe that there's a thought here about some of what we would see in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside the still waters and green pastures. God takes care of us. Someone said this morning, they said, you know, I appreciate all you're doing out there and all the work that you're doing and putting yourself out there and just your ministry. And honestly, I just feel so blessed that I have the opportunity to be in the ministry. I count it a great privilege. And honestly, I do not feel stressed about ministry. Sometimes I feel a little stressed before I get up to preach a message and I'm not ready. But the ministry is a blessing.
Yes, it is.
Ministry is a blessing and it's refreshing.
Amen.
The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be in the ministry. It's a beautiful thing. And I have good times in the ministry. I can do it with joy because that's what the work of God is. He gives his strength with his call. Where he leads, he provides and takes care of us. And he does so well with it. He shall drink of the brook in the way, therefore shall he lift up the head. That we're not just able to conquer through Christ, but that we are more than conquerors, that we can conquer without even breaking a sweat.
Amen.
Through the power of God.
Amen.
He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. That yoke is a place of service, a place of work. But he said you'll find rest to your souls there. And you will. I think about those three young men in Daniel chapter 3 that went through the fire. And it says after they went through that fire that was heated 7 times hotter, it says they didn't even have the smell of smoke.
Amen.
It's a good thing when you can see a preacher who's been through some tough combat spiritually with joy in his heart.
That's right. Yes, sir.
It's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
Walk with God and he gives more grace. What a Savior. God was going to do a work through David's life that was much greater than David himself. Psalm 37, look back to, just at another psalm here, Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken. But the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, in the days of famine. They shall be satisfied, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, and as smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and am now old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble.
Amen.
The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Wow. What great promises we have here in Psalm 37. And we could read through many of the Psalms. But the promise here is that we don't need to fret ourselves because of evildoers. We don't need to be afraid when the wicked spread themselves like a green bay tree when they're in their power, because we can trust in God, walk in him, find our strength in him from day to day. God's not impressed by the legs of a man, by the power and the wisdom of a man. He's not impressed by what we can do, but we can rest in him. We can find our strength in him, and we need to do that so we can be effective as God's people. We must seek the heart of God and rest in him as God's people. The thought was this: sit thou at my right hand. That was a place of blessing, but it was a place of learning. The Bible says of Christ that he was a student. Jesus was a student. It says he increased in wisdom and stature. He increased in wisdom. He was always, and when he was 12 years old, he was in the temple asking all these questions. He was a learner. He was a student. And he sat there at the right hand of God. He sat close to learn from him. I think about Elijah following Elijah. And from place to place to place, he kept following him. He kept following him. And many times the other sons of the prophets would say, you know, just hold your peace, or the Lord's going to take your master today. And he said, I know it. And he just kept following his master. And when they went across Jordan, Elijah asked Elisha, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And he said, you've asked a hard thing. Only time in the Bible where it says it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. That spirit. It's not enough to have the letter of the law memorized. We need the spirit of God to do the work of God. We must have of his spirit. And we need to sit at his right hand. In other words, take some time. Study the scripture. That priest, Melchizedek, he was the first priest. If you look up the word priest in the Bible, the first time you see priest, he's Melchizedek. There he was. He was a priest of the Most High God, and he came to meet Abraham after that battle, and he brought bread and wine. picture of the body and blood of Christ.
Yeah.
And Melchizedek means he was the king of righteousness. He was right. You can't have the power of God in your life or the peace of God in your life till you spend some time seeking to have a right relationship with God. Say, God, what would you have me to do? Well, here it is. Study His Word, but ask Him, God, what is your voice from your Word? What is your voice to me from your Word? What would you have me to do from your Word? Know God and have that right spirit. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to give us His righteousness, that we learn to rest in Christ, see ourselves as vile, and rest in the righteousness of God, and then He'll be the King of Salem, the King of Peace.
Amen.
And give us peace in our lives. The power of God is going to be through God's work in our lives as Christ does that work. As we rest in Him, we can have a great end. We must have the power of God. It's not enough to memorize scriptures and to do religious things. We must find the power of God to live our lives, to be able to get along with one another in the church, to be able to make a difference in the community, to be able to do something with this vapor that we call life. We must have the power of God. And the Lord said to the Messiah, "Sit thou at my right hand." That Messiah, remember David said this in spirit. He saw all this through spirit.
Right.
In other words, David saw that his Lord, the one that he would pursue and that he would serve and that he would hold as his example, was the Messiah. And the Messiah was one who would rest in the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to rest in the power of God.
Amen.
And we can do great things. The Lord shall strike through kings in the day of His wrath. You'll be able to strike through. You'll be able to make a difference as you put your trust in Him.
Amen.
Verse 3 says, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power and the beauties of holiness." I don't really know what that all means, but I have a suspicion. We need to rest in the power of God.
Amen.
We need to have a holiness through the finished work of Jesus Christ and resting in what He's done for us. He loves you. That's why He came. That's why He gave His life. He followed the will of God. It was for the joy that was set before Him to please God, but that you would be a son of God. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. The Bible says here, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." I know He did a work in my life to make me willing when I was a child of wrath, when I was away from God. He saved my soul. He changed my life. God can touch and change the will of a man if we will follow and walk closely with Christ in seek to have that a beautiful holiness. God will bless that, and He'll allow a work through our lives. I believe we can make a difference in other people's lives. I believe that's part of what that promise is, that we can touch the lives of others through walking with God, and that they too. It says, "Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies." Have perfect peace and confidence in God when you're surrounded. That is an awesome thing. We don't need to be discouraged by this world. We don't need to be overcome by this, the evils of this world. Rest in God and enjoy worship with God in the midst of the darkness. That's the heritage of God's people. Hope that's an encouragement to you this morning, and maybe a challenge as well. But let's go to the Lord in prayer once again. I'm going to close. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be able to open your word this morning. Lord, you know what you're doing with this, Lord, and Father, you know it's an unusual passage here for me, but where I know, Lord, that this is that you have something.